Our guest on Via Gars this month is Dr. Michelle Pardue, a research career scientist at the Atlanta VA Medical Center and an associate professor in the Department of Ophthalmology at Emory University School of Medicine. She is currently doing research at the VA Medical Center in the area of retinal diseases. Dr. Pardue, how long have you been working on retinal problems?
I've been working on retinal disease for the last 15 years, and I've looked at various different treatments through the years. So some of them have been restoration treatments like retinal prosthetics, and I've talked to your radio audience about that in the past. I've also looked at various methods for neuroprotection, like different types of drugs that we might be able to give and whether that would slow down the progression of the disease. And the most exciting thing that we're working on right now that I'd like to talk with you about is the effects of exercise on retinal disease, and particularly retinal degenerations like retinitis pigmentosa and age-related macular degeneration.
People don't usually think of exercising as a preventative measure in eye health.
Absolutely, I agree. It's not the first thing that we think about, that exercising our muscles, and you know, we think of exercise as helping muscles or cardiovascular, but your audience may be well aware that there's lots of research that's now shown that exercise also helps our brains. It improves memory, and it seems to have a specific benefit to a portion of the brain called the hippocampus. And so that has really been exciting because there's a lot of exercise interventions that are now being done for patients that have Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease, and they're showing some really exciting beneficial results to those patients. So we learned about this research, and we've been hearing about it, particularly here at the VA in the Center for Visual and Neurocognitive Rehab, the CVNR, which I work within. We have a number of investigators that are using exercise for cognitive benefit, for trying to improve brain health. And in listening to their presentations, I began to think about the fact that exercise may also benefit the neurons in the retina. Really, the retina is just an extension of the brain, and often different types of approaches that help the brain will also help the eye. And so I decided to take that into the lab and see if we could actually test that with some of our animal models.
And what have you learned from this latest research?
Well, what we found is that when we take an animal model that has a very specific retinal degeneration, and so there's two models that we're using. One is a light-induced retinal degeneration. So this is extremely bright, toxic light that we expose a rodent to. And when we do this, they get photoreceptor degeneration. And I want to emphasize that the photoreceptor degeneration is very similar to what happens in retinitis pigmentosa or age-related macular degeneration. So we have a lab model of what's going on in these diseases. So what we did is we took the animals and we ran them on a treadmill for 2 weeks. And the running was 5 days a week for an hour. And it was basically a pace of a brisk walk. They weren't running all out. It wasn't to exhaustion or anything like that. It was a brisk walk, I would say, for a rodent, very similar to what the CDC would suggest, I think, for humans as far as go out and take a brisk walk. So we did that for 5 days a week, and then we induced our light damage and induced this photoreceptor death. And then we started looking at how did the animals that were exercised compare to the animals that were not exercised in regards to their retinal function, so how well the retina was actually responding to light and how well the animals could see, and then how many photoreceptors were actually there, how many were present and how many had died. And we found significant preservation. We actually found that the animals could see much better, twice as well, the ones that were exercised versus the ones that weren't. And the structure was also preserved, so we had twice as many photoreceptor cells in the animals that were exercised compared to the ones that weren't. So it was really amazing because that was a similar result, like that those results were as good as some of the drug therapies that we have tried in the past. So that was pretty impressive that you have this systemic exercise. It's really non-invasive. People can do it whenever they want. It's inexpensive. It's very exciting that would actually give that much benefit.
What did you do then?
We then moved on to another experiment to try to get it a little closer to what people might actually do. So on a treadmill experiment with animals, the animals are put on the treadmill, but there's a little shocker in the back to make sure that they run. And I don't think most people would want to be forced to actually do their exercise. So in the next experiment, we took mice and we gave each of the mice a running wheel in their cage, much like you might see like with a hamster, having a little hamster wheel. And then we used a different model. This time we used a genetic model. And so this particular rodent had a mutation that you can find in patients that have retinitis pigmentosa. So it was a little closer to what we might find in humans. And the mice that have wheels run on the wheels mostly at night because they're nocturnal, so that's when they're most active. And they tend to have kind of this interval training type paradigm where they get on the wheel and they'll run really fast, and then they get off and they kind of go around their cage and explore, and then they get back on and they run. And what's amazing to me is that they will run a lot, as many as 20 kilometers, some mice, in a night.
Do most of the mice run that much?
Now, of course, not all the mice run that much. Some run much less. So kind of like people, like some of us like to run marathons, and some won't only want to do a jog, if that, around the block. So there's some, you know, variability in how much they run. We let the animals have wheels basically for their whole lifespan, from the time that they were born. Their parents had wheels in the cage. And then when they got to an age of weaning, we gave them an individual wheel and then kept following them. And we measured how well they could see, looking at their retinal function and visual function. And then we looked at those photoreceptor numbers again to see how many were still there. And what we found is, again, they had significant preservation. So the animals that were exercised had much slower rates of visual loss than the animals that were not exercised. Again, it was just really exciting to see such a positive result from this non-invasive intervention.
How close are you to doing this research on humans?
We are very excited about the fact that exercise can be so easily translatable into the clinic. And in fact, there's, of course, many people who already exercise. And as I said before, within the Center for Visual and Neurocognitive Rehab here at the Atlanta VA, we already have people that are using exercise as an intervention in people to look at brain health. And so we are getting ready. We just got some funding from the VA as a pilot study to look at the effects of exercise in humans and how that might specifically impact their eyes.
Why do you think exercise is good for eye health?
I think that exercise is a very multifactorial, I guess, kind of an intervention for people, in that a lot of different things are going on. So there's some people that think there's kind of a low-grade stress that goes on to our bodies, and that can be beneficial because, you know, we have all kinds of mechanisms in our immune system that when there's a little bit of stress, we send out all these kind of protective factors that try to help the body. And so a little bit of stress isn't bad because then it kind of upregulates all these things. So in our experiments, we've been looking at a particular growth factor, this neuroprotective factor called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And it's been shown to be increased in the brain with exercise. And we found that it's increased in the eye. And if we block a receptor for BDNF, we can completely block the effects of the exercise protection in the eye. So that's potentially one way, but we don't think that's the only way. We think there's probably likely other ways that the eye is also benefiting, whether it's increased blood flow, other mechanisms that are being upregulated that we just haven't identified yet. That's probably likely one of the reasons it works so well is that there's many things that are going on all at once.
How did you come up with the idea of using exercise in your research?
Being able to listen to my co-investigators at the CVNR here at the Atlanta VA and listening to them talk about the results of exercise in their studies. Keith McGregor and Joe Nocera are both using exercise in people where they have exercise paradigms that involve working on a bike, a stationary bike, and they're looking at the beneficial effects of exercise on aging or Parkinson's disease. And then we have Madeline Hackney, who's looking at the effects of dance in Parkinson's patients. So again, another form of exercise and how that helps both cognitively and the motor control in patients that have Parkinson's. So I'm listening to all these very great studies with really great results and thinking, well, if these different aspects of neurons that are controlling motor function or brain cognitive function, if those neurons can benefit, then maybe the retina, the neurons in the eye, will also benefit from exercise. So that's kind of how that evolved.
If exercise works this good, is there a possibility for a cure for retinal diseases?
There is not a cure for retinal diseases per se. Like, there's lots of things under development, and you know, the research field is very excited about advances that we've made in prosthetics and gene therapy that offer potential restoration to individuals who have lost sight. And then there's many different types of neuroprotectant agents that are being developed that will actually slow down the loss of vision. And that will include some of the anti-VEGFs that people receive injections for AMD in particular, or some patients may also be receiving it for diabetic retinopathy. And so those things are all treatments. There's not really a cure per se, I would say, at this moment, but the exercise is really exciting to us because not only do we see that it helps photoreceptor disease, so things like retinitis pigmentosa and age-related macular degeneration, but we also have evidence from our lab that it helps diabetic retinopathy, and other people are showing that it helps glaucoma. So the three major diseases that are causing vision loss are AMD, glaucoma, and diabetic retinopathy, and exercise seems to help all three of those. So it's really remarkable because most other treatments that we have won't help these three major diseases that have very different mechanisms behind their pathology of how they're actually developing and how they progress. But here you have one intervention that, as we were discussing, has all these different factors that seem to be involved to make it beneficial, and it actually can provide benefit to all three. So I'd like to emphasize to your audience that I think one of the ways that it's most helpful is when it's started early. And so I'm a true believer that any intervention that can be started at the earliest signs of some sort of a visual problem, or probably any disease actually, is going to be more beneficial than starting it later. So once you start it later, it's harder to slow down all those disease processes. So at the first sign that there may be something, or even beforehand, if you desire and you can do that, and exercise is good for you, just in general, right? We know it's beneficial to all sorts of parts of our body, and it's certainly been shown to improve sleep and other aspects of our lives. So doing exercise not only can do those things, but it also may be improving your retinal health and slowing down any kind of disease that may be undetected.
Any final thoughts?
Sometimes people may wonder how they can find more information, and I would direct them to our website for the Center for Visual and Neurocognitive Rehab, and it's located at V as in Victor, A-R-R-D, at Emory, that's EMORY.edu, and that's a great place to look for what kind of research is going on, if you want more information about the different investigators that are part of the center, and we have just what's new, what kind of new things are going on, so I think your audience may enjoy looking at that.
We would like to thank Dr. Michelle Pardue for being our guest on ViaGARS. If you would like to have any more information on this or other interests concerning veterans, contact the VA Medical Center in Atlanta at 404-321-6111. The Atlanta VA Rehabilitation Research and Development Center for Excellence for Visual and Neurocognitive Rehabilitation, CVNR, and the Atlanta Office of the Birmingham Atlanta VA Geriatric Research Education and Clinical Center, GREC, proudly partner with GARS to reach veterans and their loved ones with information about research and services at the Atlanta VA Medical Center through this monthly broadcast, Veterans Information at GARS. The CVNR's mission is to foster the health and well-being of veterans through uniquely synergistic research impacting visual and our neurocognitive function. The mission of the GREC is to improve VA healthcare delivery, to effectively meet the medical, psychological, and social needs of older veterans through research, education, and clinical services focused on mobility, palliative care, and incontinence.